You know, folks, I believe the scripture is clear that as followers of Jesus, it's not an option to turn back. Do you understand that? Jesus said, he who has put his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. And remember, he said, remember Lot's wife, that she was physically coming out of Sodom, but her heart was still there. And she, contrary to what the Lord, he said, do not look back. I'm going to judge the cities. And when she came out, she looked back because that's where her affections were. That's where her heart was. Her heart was in the world. And you know, as the story goes, she became a pillar of salt. And God pulled Lot and his two daughters out of that wicked city because God is merciful. And I do believe it was because of Abraham's prayer, his intercession for those cities. How many know, folks, that as God's people, we have a responsibility to pray for our nation, to pray for our city. We are to pray for the peace of our city. It's our home. God hears our prayers, folks. Your prayers are effective. They're powerful. And especially when we're together in agreement, prayers of agreement. And on Friday nights, if you haven't been coming out, I want to encourage you to make the time to come out and join us in intercessory prayer. If there's ever a time we need to pray, it's now. Amen. I know we have homes to pray in, but if you can make it, come on out on Friday night. We begin at 6:30, and sometimes we go to about 8 o'clock, and maybe a little longer depending on. But we've had some wonderful times in the presence. The glory of God comes down, and God is answering our prayers, folks. And we're not going to waste our time, right? So we pray because we believe that God is able. I just want to pray, Heavenly Father, I ask that you would open our understanding today. Lord Jesus, open the scriptures to us that we can understand. Lord, not just with our head, but with our hearts. We ask you to change us today and bring us into the revelation of the truth that will set us free and keep us free. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Scripture today is from Genesis chapter 12. Title of the message is Blessed to be a Blessing. Blessed to be a Blessing. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. God basically interrupted Abraham's busy schedule and told him that everything you've known, everything you've been familiar with, you're going to have to leave behind. In other words, he said, you are going to have to leave your old life. You have to leave your old life. And I'm going to bring you into a place that I will later show you. How many know it requires faith, trust in God, to leave everything you're familiar with, to go into a place that he hasn't even made clear to you yet, but just, he said, get up and get out of here. You've got to turn away from everything that you've known so that I can bring you into my promise. The problem that we face is that we don't really trust God enough to let go of things that he tells us to. And as a result, we stay tethered to our past. We stay tethered to what was. If you want to be free, you'll have to let it go. You'll have to break all ties to the old way, the old life that you've been familiar with. And you need to join up with Jesus in a journey of faith where he takes us by the hand and he leads us to and through the promised land. Abraham was interrupted, told to get out of everything that he was familiar with. And I'm going to bless you, he said in verse 2, and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. So what was the purpose of the blessing? So he could be a blessing. Why does God bless our lives? So we can be a blessing. Remember, the problem with Israel is they became the sole recipients of the blessing, when God simply wanted them to be a kingdom of priests that would represent him on the earth, and through them he would reveal his ways. Do you understand that this is the same problem we can have as followers of Jesus today, as Christians? Is that we can live a life of self-centeredness, of being in it for us. In other words, being a Christian for ourselves. To be the sole recipients of God's grace and his blessings, rather than being a conduit through whom God will move and touch the world around us. Do you understand? As long as we become the sole recipients of blessings, and we're not giving, we're not sharing, we're not allowing God to pour through us, we become stagnant, we become stale Christians, lifeless. If water does not flow, it becomes what? Stagnant. So God called Abraham out to follow him. He was going to reveal to him his plans, his purposes, that he was going to bless him and make his name great. He was going to be a great nation. Of course, we know what that nation is today. What's the nation? Israel. Amen. Isn't it interesting that even though that nation is so tiny, so small, what's the size of Rhode Island? And maybe New Jersey? And yet, the whole world is focusing on that geographical location. Do you think there might be more to it than meets the eye? But what I want us to understand, folks, is that God wants to bless us in the new place, but he can't bless you in the old place. He can't bless us if we're not willing to trust him into the new thing he's calling us into. God wants to increase your life, just like he did with Abraham. And he wants to bless many people through your life. Did you know that? That God wants to really make you a blessing to so many others. That's why, you know, he doesn't just bless us so we get goosebumps and we can go around looking so spiritual. He blesses us to be a blessing. Yeah. I love that. My life has purpose. My life has meaning. Do you understand that your life is of great value to God? You are of great value to God, so much so that he gave his only begotten son, that he gave Jesus to die for you. That's how valuable you are to God. And God wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. But he wants to bless you not so you can be the sole recipient of his grace or receive his grace in vain, but that you can receive his grace and be a conduit so you can give away what he gives you. And that there'll be a chain reaction in the Spirit. Hallelujah. We'll be like lighting the candles on a cake. You know, God lights you up, and you just go around and you start lighting the other candles up. Come on, because some of them are ready just to take off. All you got to do is just speak that word, you know, and it'll come to flame. To be a blessing in every way. What has God given you? What are your talents? What are your abilities? How are you cut out? We're all cut out differently, but God blesses us again to be that blessing. So in verse 4 it says, Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed for Haran. So likewise, what is God doing? He's telling us the same thing, folks. We need to follow the example here in Scripture. God didn't bless Abraham again so he could just feel good. But that through Abraham and his seed, not as plural seeds, but through his seed, many will be blessed, right? All peoples of the earth would be blessed. What was that seed? It was Christ, amen? Galatians 3:16, it says, to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. So there is only one way that you can enter into the blessings that were promised to Abraham and his seed, singular, and that is to be in that seed, to be in Christ, is to receive the blessings of God. Amen? A blessed life is a life that is lived in Him. To abide in Christ. Unless we abide in Him, we can bear no fruit. Apart from me, you can do. And so, why do we want God to bless us? So we can spend it on ourselves, so we can just have a lavish life for ourselves. No, God wants to bless us to be a blessing. How many have discovered it's more blessed to give than to receive? How many know it's not just talking about money? He's talking about to give your life or to offer your body back to God. Say, Lord, here I am. Bless me. So that I can be a blessing. And the more that you bless, the more blessed you are. The more that you give, the more that you receive. The more that you love, the more you receive love. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Do you understand? As we give our lives away, we find our life in Him. We think that if I give myself away, I'm going to lose something. Yes, you will. But you'll never ultimately lose, amen, anything with God. You only temporarily lose, or at least you think you are. A gift can be a sacrifice. A sacrifice is something that you're going to feel. It's going to hurt to do this. How many have sacrificed for your children? Amen. We've gone out of our way. We've spent ourselves so that our kids could have maybe a good education, for example. So there was a momentary inconvenience. There was pain in that offering. Come on. But then there are the blessings and the benefits of the sacrifice that come back someday. If you've ever taken courses and studied in school, you know that there are rewards for those who do their homework. If you want to graduate, you've got to study. Studying is not fun. Well, maybe you enjoy it, but I don't. But studying is important for us to be promoted, to go to the next level. Why do we get an education in the first place? So that we can be productive. Why do we get the Word of God? Why do we want the Word of God? Just so we can be self-sufficient? No, so that we can be productive in the kingdom. When I receive something, I give it away. Now, there's another part of us that when you hear these things, it says, I don't know about that. I don't know about all that giving stuff. That's the part of you that has to die. That's the part of you that's in rebellion to what God says. You see, what God does and what God says most of the time does not make sense to the natural mind. Abraham could have reasoned with God, say, you know, well, God, I'm comfortable here. I've got a good living. And you're telling me just to leave everything behind and go to some place you're not even going to tell me where I'm going. And you know, most people are like that. Unless God says specifically what to do, we don't move. And most people are not moving at all because they never get anything specific. Because God wants you to trust Him. There's been times when God has challenged us to do something where we didn't have all the answers. All we had was one word and one assignment. I want you to go do that thing. And we're like, but what about that? What happens if I just go do that one thing? I want you to sell your house, pack up your stuff, give most of your furniture away, box it up into a small 15-foot truck, and I want you to go across the country. No job, no direction beyond that. Just go back east. But we have to hear God's voice. And then we have to be willing to step out of the boat. We have to be willing to get out of the place of predictability, out of comfort, out of being our own God, being in control of our own destiny. Are you hearing me? If you try to live out of just yourself and you being Lord of your own life, you're going to completely miss the will of God. Abraham was willing to leave his old life behind. Do you know, folks, I've said this before, but the reason why a lot of people don't get free from addictions, for example, is because they're not willing to completely leave where they've been. Because there's been, even though it's a destructive lifestyle, there was some comfort in that destructive lifestyle. There was familiarity in that lifestyle. Am I right? And so God says you're going to have to just scrap it all. And you're going to have to get out of that boat that you've been in, out of that old life, and you're going to have to come out onto the water with me and watch what I will do. And you'll come alive. When you get untethered from all that stuff, when you make that clean break from your past, clean break from addiction, you come out, you're free. It's like Israel coming out of Egypt after being in bondage for so many years. But unfortunately, many of them were still tethered in their hearts to Egypt. And they wanted to go back. They didn't want to go any further on this walk of faith where they had to now trust God. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith and not by sight. This has been our theme for quite a few weeks now, but it's Luke 9:23. Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. Remember that word, self, means psuche. It means your soul life, your soulish life. It means if you're going to be my follower, hear it, you can no longer be selfish. Aren't you glad that Jesus wasn't selfish? We've all been selfish, but Jesus lived a completely unselfish life. And He's our example. He's our model. I don't want to live a selfish life. I've spent years in selfishness. I want to live like Jesus did. And He said, if you try to save your life, you lose it. But if you give your life away, you'll find it. Never be a Christian for yourself. It's not about you. Sorry. It's not about me. May we be a people who live for the will of God, the purpose of God. My meat, my what satisfies me, Jesus said, is to do what? The will of my Father and to complete that work. Hallelujah. How many know that you were not created for yourself in the first place? This is the confusion. Because we've known is self. We were born in Adam. We grew up with that selfish nature. Come out saying, mine, mine, mine. You know, but we were not created for ourselves. So why do we try to hold on to something that is not ours in the first place? It's the sin nature that rebels against the will of God. And that has to be scrapped. Amen? It has to be given over to God. You have to surrender your life if you want to know the life of God, the superior reality of the kingdom. You can live your life in this inferior realm of the flesh realm, of the temporal nature of this world. Everything that you see is passing away. You can live for materialism and for pleasure and miss eternity. What does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? What can you give in exchange for your soul? Is there anything more valuable than a soul? No. Because your soul is eternal. I have decided to follow Jesus. There's no turning back. I don't want to go back. It's too good. I said it's too good. When you really walk in with the Lord, come on, it's difficult at times. Sure it is. But it's good. It may be tough at times, but it's joyful. There's peace in my heart. I love being with God's people. I love learning about Jesus. I love serving Jesus. This is my life. Is it your life? Is he your life now? Or are you still tethered to the old life? And you're just kind of including God in once in a while. Do you understand? As long as you're tethered to the world, you will never come into the abundant life that he's promised you. The full life of walking in the Spirit with the Lord. Are you willing to say no to yourself and yes to God? Are you willing to completely forsake your old life that you may walk in this new life? What happened to Adam and Eve in the garden was that they became enemies of God. Just like Satan. Because they bowed down to him and they listened to him. Do you know why Jesus became like us? So we could become like him. God's will, folks, is to form us back into the image of his Son. Romans 8:29 says, for God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his Son, so that his Son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Romans 8:30, and having chosen them, he called them to come to him, and having called them, he gave them right standing with himself, and having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who could ever be against us? 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, for he made him, Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Do you understand, folks? The Christian life is not just about saying prayers, reading your Bible, going to church, doing good things, and then hopefully someday we'll go to heaven. Should we read our Bible? Should we say prayers? Should we be in church? But how many know that's not the main thing? God didn't save us just to take us to heaven, folks. If that were the case, he would kill us and take us immediately to heaven. Are you hearing me? God saved us with a purpose. God wants heaven to come into us. And so the kingdom, amen, will be manifested through us in this world. God has chosen you and I to be ambassadors, his representatives in this world, to bring heaven to earth. You see, too many are just living in defeat and on IV drip and just barely surviving and holding the fort and saying, come, Lord, come quickly. Are you hearing me? Because we want an escape. We just want to get out of this mess. And God's saying, I don't want you to come out of this mess. If I did, I would have already taken you. But I want you to transform your world. I want you to be a world changer, not a world conformer. I want you to be salt. I want you to be light. I want you to effectively change your atmosphere and your environment by praising the Lord and declaring His praises and bringing the glory of His presence into your situation. Are you hearing me? And as we speak life into others, we're lighting them up. What better place for us to be than in the dark? What good is a light in the light, but we're light in the darkness? Some of you are saying, what was that? You better qualify that one. Do you get it? God wants us to be light. And so the best place for us to be, where? Is in the dark. God, get me out of this job. Get me out of this town. Get me out of this situation. No, God says, bloom where you planted. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. He wants to come out. If you don't believe that, then you won't live that. If you don't believe that God is greater than in you than he that's in the world, then you won't live that. That's why we must renew our minds. We must come to the knowledge of the truth. What is authentic? What is real? As my mind is renewed into the knowledge of Him, then the reality of what's happened in me becomes my experience in life. It's my walk. The reason why we know what's right and we're not always walking what's right is because of this thing right here. That's contradicting. That's why you need the Word and the washing of the Word, the renewing of your mind. So you know what God says and what is true. And then if something comes in that contradicts what He says, you say, illegal, out of here. Not thinking about that, not going there. I'm going to walk in the truth. The Christian life is not about getting out of here. Jesus walked totally committed to the Father. He walked totally committed to the Father in unselfish love. Do you understand? As followers of Jesus, we are to live completely unselfish lives. That's where joy's at. That's where your peace will come. That's where your love will come. That's where your light will dawn. When you are a Christian for others and not for yourself. Too much of Christianity and the messages we've heard in America have been all about you. All about self-service. All about self-improvement. Self, 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 self. What did Jesus say? He says, deny yourself. He meant utterly disown yourself. You're not your own God anymore. You're under new management. He's Lord. We take our orders from Him. What He says, yes, it's yes. If He says no, it's no. I got to say no to me and yes to Him. You want to dry up spiritually, just start saying yes to you and no to Him. How many know what I'm talking about? We've all done it. The key to becoming like Jesus is in seeing the real Jesus. Seeing what I never saw before. So I can become what I've never been. When I see Jesus, I'm transformed. When we look into the Word of God and the Holy Spirit illuminates and brings the revelation of Jesus to us, it transforms us. When we see the authentic Jesus, are you hearing me? There's a transforming effect. So we're looking into His face. What we saw, we talked about it in Sunday school, is looking into a mirror. We see the glory of God in the face of Jesus. You understand, we need to know what the real Jesus looks like, the authentic Jesus. And you've heard me say this many times, but there's a lot of Jesus is being presented today. They don't look like the one in the Bible. They're Jesuses of our own choosing. It's called idolatry. Well, to me, Jesus is like this. Oh, to you, Jesus is like that. That's idolatry. Jesus is who he is. He doesn't change. We need to discover the true Jesus, the authentic Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible. And when we see him, when he reveals himself to us by revelation, we are changed. We see him as he really is. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:16, whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Where's that veil? That veil is that veil in our hearts that blinds us to who he is. We cannot know God unless God himself removes the veil. And that veil, if you will, that covering, is removed when a person repents. That means they, from their heart, they turn back to God. And then God removes the veil. For the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. So my question today is, have you entered into the new place with him? Or are you still living out of the old place? Have you obeyed God in coming out of the world, coming out of the old way, the old life? And are you now in the new place, in the Spirit? As long as you stay tethered to the old place, you will not be blessed in the new place. And if you're not blessed, you cannot be a blessing. How many here say, I want to be a blessing? Amen. We would be crazy, right? Not to want to be a blessing and not to want to be blessed. And Phil, partly of this message is partly stimulated by something you said. On Thursdays, we go out to the Shelton Rehab and we have a little service for the folks out there. And there's a song that we always close with, which is an old hymn. And it's called Make Me a Blessing. How many of you remember that song, Make Me a Blessing? And I want you to hear this. It goes like this. Out in the highways and byways of life, many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rife, making the sorrowing glad. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing out of my life. May Jesus shine. Make me a blessing. O Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today. Do you want your light to dawn? Don't be a Christian for yourself anymore. Live for the kingdom. Live for the will of God. Live for others. Bless, amen, and you'll be blessed. Give as 'twas given to you in your need. Love as the Master loved you. Be to the helpless a helper indeed. Unto your mission be true. Make me a blessing. Make me a blessing out of my life. May Jesus shine. Make me a blessing, O Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today. Hallelujah. The Christian life is Christ in you and Christ living through you in this dark world. The Christian life is about you and I lighting up the night and destroying the works of darkness. Do you want to be a blessing? Then die to yourself by fully committing your life to the Lord. Turn from your selfish ways and live for God and others. And then, and only then, will you become a blessing. Are you hearing that? Do you want to be a blessing? Die to yourself. Die to your selfish way. The way of self-will is really the way of destruction. The way of His will is the way of life. And if you want to be blessed and become a blessing, that's how it goes. I know some people are going to say, no, not for me. Me, my. But you know, folks, I have discovered there is nothing more important. Nothing more important to me than to know that I have done the will of God for my life. What do you want to be remembered for? A few weeks ago, we talked about that. You know, the gravestone. What's going to be in the dash there? What will your life have been about when it's all over? Well, they lived a life for themselves. Lavished themselves with all these good things. And they lived life to the fullest. They didn't include anybody else, but they lived life to the fullest. That would be a tragedy. That would be a complete waste of life. How about, here lies a man of God, a woman of God, a person who lived for God and for others, who bore much fruit, who glorified Jesus, and has entered into their reward. And the day comes when we stand before Jesus Christ, and I want to hear Him say, what? Well done, my good and faithful servant. We don't want to hear Him say, who are you? I don't know you. You workers of iniquity. You lived for yourself. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't live for Himself? Aren't you glad that He was willing to lay down His life for us so that we could live? Now He calls us to join Him and do the same. Lay down your life for others, because there was a joy that was waiting for Him. For the joy set before Him, He endured the cross, despising its shame. And now He's at the right hand of the Father. Amen? And there will be joy in heaven over every sinner that comes to repentance, because you and I are not living for ourselves, but we're here for others. And what we've been blessed with, what we have received, we are not to hoard, but we are to give it away. If you've received His salvation, then you find someone else and you tell them about what Jesus has done. Amen? Amen. And you lead them to the same Jesus, because what God did for you, He wants to do for others.
Right.
God help us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How many are all in? How many have decided to follow Jesus? How many have said, I have left the old life. I'm untethered. There's nothing I want there. I'm not going back to it. I'm all in, Jesus. All in for You. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Sweet surrender. That's where you find your life. God bless you. May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause His face to shine upon you, and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Peace of the Lord be with your spirits.